Dankie Here dat U vrede alle verstand te bowe gaan. Dankie Here dat U vrede onverstaanbaar is. Maar ons is so dankbaar vir U vrede en U liefde. Ek bid Heilige Gees dat U vanoggend oor ons sal spoel met U liefde. Die ontzaglike liefde. En dat ons so veilig sal voel in die arms vanoggend, Here. Ten spyte van. Dat ons sal weet bo alle twyfel. Ons God is vir ons. Ons Here is aan ons kant. En Hy sal ons help om elke berg te versit. Dankie Vader dat ons gedra word in die tye wat ons nie meer kan loop nie. Dankie Vader dat die tye wat ons hardloop, hardloop U saam met ons. Dankie Here dat U so lief is vir ons en dat niks ons van U liefde kan skei nie. Laat U liefde, Here, bid ek vir elkeen wat vanoggend hier is, laat U liefde ons grootste realiteit word. Ons grootste werklikheid, groter as enige en alle werklikhede. U ontzaglike liefde vir ons. Dankie daarvoor, Jesus Christus, ons Redder, die liefhebber van ons siele, ons Verlosser. Dankie vir Jesus. Amen. Het is een werklike voorreg om vanoggend saam met julle hier te kan wees. Vanoggend het ek eindelijk my boodskap in Engels voorberei, maar ek sal so nou en dan sal ek 'n Afrikaanse woord ingooi. My Afrikaans is nie sleg nie, maar ek kommunikeer makliker in Engels, is meer vloeiend. So ek hoop julle sal my verskoon. Is dit ok vir julle? As dit nie is, sal ek Afrikaans spreek. Ok, want ek het gehoor, vanaand praat ons in Engels, vanaand bedien my vrou. Het julle al gehoor, die boodskap is getitel Haat, het julle al gehoor van Brian Welsh? Wie weet van julle van, steek julle hande op. Ok, julle moet dadelijk repent, ne? Nee, met julle gehoor het van dat hy bekering gekom het, maar dit, hy is 'n heavy metal band leier, en hulle liedjies is iets akeligs. Hulle promote baie verkeerde goeders. So Brian Welsh had a band, I don't know if the band still exists, Korn. He was the lead singer, and he sat with a problem. His wife left him. They're both drug addicts, him and his wife. And his wife deserted him and his little daughter. And she went on a drug spree, who knows where. He lost contact with her, and he sat with this little girl that he must bring up. But he sat with one problem. She started singing his songs. And the songs, part of the content of the song is loving drugs, doing promiscuous sexual activities. That is the message of the song. And this little six-year-old would sing his song as if it's the gospel. And that did not work with him. Even being a drug addict, even being into a form of Satan worship, maybe not directly, but just actually promoting everything that the Bible says for us not to do. That was the messages of every of his songs. And it bothered him that his daughter was singing his songs. And he really started worrying about that. And one day he mentioned it to a partner in business. They were buying properties, a real estate agent. And this real estate agent said to him, you know, and he's a reborn Christian, the real estate agent, his partner. He said to him, Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. En hy dog maar, hy is nie 'n kind van God nie, hy erken nie eens vir Jesus nie, en hy prevel so gebed, if you are real, I give you this burden, I'm worried about my daughter. And a few weeks passed, and this estate agent said to him, oh, don't you want to come with to church? Because Brian Welsh was having sleepless nights. He could not think that his daughter is singing his songs. He could not bear with it. It was just too terrible for words. What is he leading his child into? And he went to church, and they did an altar call, And he says he didn't know what got him to the front, but before he came by, he was in the front on his knees, weeping bitterly before God. And got radically saved. And obviously told his daughter about Christ after that. And changed their whole lifestyle. He resigned from the band. He stopped with all of that. When you watch the testimony on YouTube, his tattoos go right up to his ears, you know. So you could see the kind of life that he led. And I know the scripture about tattoos is the Old Testament, and some youngsters want to get scriptures on their arms and stuff, but I have this motto regarding that. And that is, do you put a sticker on a Ferrari? Have you ever seen a Ferrari with a sticker? Now, each and every one of us are God's Ferraris, much more than a Ferrari. God's made you beautifully. So don't put a sticker on your Ferrari. Don't put a sticker on your body. And if you have one, that's fine. But if you're planning to have one, don't do it. You're beautifully and wonderfully made as you are by God and through God. So Brian was concerned that the innocence of his child would be spoilt. And it drove him to Jesus out of desperateness. And the application to our lives is, what has spoilt us along our life journey? On our walk with Christ, or before Christ, before we reach Christ, what has spoiled us on our life journey? What has messed us up? What has damaged us? That's a question we have to ask as we are adults today, and many of us are not yet adults or young adults. Many of us have fallen into the trap of becoming sophisticated, aware of things, aware of position and status. Material things, the opinion of others has become too important for us. Matthew 18 verse 6 and 7 says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's as bad as it is for any one of us to be spoilt by anyone else, or society, or the world, or life around us. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. So Matthew 18, further on, or before this verse, Matthew 18, 1 to 4 speaks of the kingdom of God belongs to those that are like children. And it compares, and it draws a parallel between being a child, a physical child, and the way children behave, the way they perceive things, the way they do things, is similar and is exactly as God wants us to be as Christians. So your walk as a child of God needs to be similar to how a physical child behaves, experiences, and does things. So God clearly draws a parallel in Matthew 18, verses 1 to 4. Now if we go read verse 1 to 4, it should be on the screen. Let's start with it. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called the child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So the question is, where have we been spoilt to such an extent that we no longer portray being a child? That's the question. Where have we walked off the road of being a child? What has happened in our lives that has robbed us of being a child, of being like a child? And I want to look at three aspects. And the first aspect is a child in essence. What is a child in essence? And I'd like to open it up to you. What would you say comes up in your mind or your heart or your thoughts when you think of a child? Just say one word: innocence. Curious. dependent. Joy. Anything else? Transparent. Honest. Anything else? Happiness. Friendly. Sorry, I missed that. Spontaneous. Yes. Full of energy. Yes. All right. Okay, so these are all the essence of being a child. So a child is characterized by innocence. That was the first one said. It's funny how that is the first thing that comes up in our heart. A child is characterized by innocence, by purity, by blatant honesty. The thing is, with becoming like a child, true blatant innocence confronts. It confronts the lie that you've learned to live with in yourself. So innocence confronts an adult. And some of us appreciate the innocent behavior of a child or the innocent words of a child, but some of us can become irritated with it. Who of you have been irritated with the honest innocence of a child? Who's going to be honest this morning? I've been. Yeah. So we get irritated, or sometimes we think, wow, that's quite honest, you know, that it like it arrests us. And the challenge that God gives us is to return to that innocence, to return to that purity, to return to that place where who we are as children of God arrests people around us, because we are in our essence like a child. With a godly inherent innocence at face value and in heart. Now, there's a very well-known evangelist, Charles Finney. I don't know how many of you have heard of him. Now, he lived in the 19th century, 18-something, and he would have big outreaches and lead many to Christ. Many signs and wonders happened. And was a powerful teacher of God's word as well as an evangelist. And the story goes that he would often get onto trains and buses and preach the gospel. But more than often, he would just get on and say nothing and just sit there. And the story goes, it happened a few times, people would just start going towards him and look at him, look at what he was representing. He wasn't saying a word, but he carried an anointing of purity and innocence, the glory of God. And they would fall on their knees and they'd say, "Sir, we don't know why, but we are so convicted of our sin. We feel so ashamed. Can you please show us the way to get this sin off us, to get this guilt off us?" And he would lead them to Christ, and he did not preach a word. So there's something that he attained as a child, that he went back to being childlike in, and God has anointed him with that innocence that drew people to him, because he had the way to salvation. They knew this man would help them without even a word being preached. The next aspect of being like a child is child in action. We have different points regarding a child in action. The first one is a child in action regarding your words. So a child's words. Tell me, when a child speaks, do they have an ulterior motive? I'm not talking about older children. I'm talking about 5, 6. Is there an ulterior motive? Is there a stab in the words? Is there any cruelty? Is there a aim to dig at you? Daar's geen lelikheid nie. Dis nie onbeskof nie. Dit die kind is net eerlik met sy of haar woorde. And how often we as children, remember we're talking about becoming like children again. Because who wants to enter the kingdom of God? So, you must become like, have you got an option? Have I got an option? We don't. So a child's words are pure, they're innocent, they don't malign. Hulle het nie bymotiewe nie, hulle maak nie seer nie. Maar 'n kind, ag, 'n volwassene kan so maklik met hulle woorde steek. Met hulle woorde iets anders bedoel. 'N kind sal goed sê wat onvanpas is in die groot menswêreld. It's inappropriate to the adult world. And often when they say that, they don't say it with any harm or ridicule intended. Hulle bedoel nie lelik deur hulle woorde nie, maar dit is vir die omstandigheid waarin jy jouself bevind onvanpas. Ons het hierdie storie gekyk, 'n movie gekyk, en dit gaan oor 'n familie wat op pad is na hulle vakansiehuis iewers in Amerika, en die pa is letterlik nooit by die huis nie, hy's 'n werkoliek. He works day and night. And the wife's upset with him, the kids are upset with him, he's got a daughter and a son, and the son keeps teasing the daughter, they're both teenagers, he's got three children. He's got a teenage boy, a teenage daughter, and a little girl, about 6 years old. But this teenage brother keeps nailing his two sisters and teasing them, and the mother won't talk to the father. Now they're busy driving, and there's this massive snowstorm. And the storm just gets worse, and they just get in time. They arrive at this house that he's built for them. He's a building contractor. They built this beautiful home. They've never seen it. He's furnished it. He wants to say, I bless you with this, but he doesn't bless them with ever being there for them. So there's a lot of tension in this family. This is an absent father that wants to show his love by gifts, not by giving of his time, his heart, his attention. Arrive at the home and they quabble and they squibble. And about an hour or two later, there's this knock on the door. And this other family had got stuck in the weather. They couldn't go further with their vehicle. And they were desperately looking for shelter. They could not reach their destination. So they knock on the door, totally strange family. And they said, please, can we get shelter from the storm? We have nowhere else to go. We can't reach our destination. And they say, yes, please come in. It's a father and mother with a teenage son, a teenage daughter. But this father and mother treat each other with a lot of love and a lot of respect. And they, you can see they really care for another. And the teenage brother speaks politely, respectfully to his sister. And you can see they care and they love each other the way they treat each other. And it's a total opposite to this family whose home it is. And then they had to spend Christmas night with each other because they couldn't reach their destination because of the storm. And so they had a meal, and this family that arrived there said, can we do a Christmas tradition that we always do? And they said, yes. They said, we want to light a candle. And as the candle comes, as we pass the candle around, when the candle comes to you, you just say one thing that you are thankful for. And so each one gets their turn. At one stage, it comes to the six-year-old daughter. And she takes the candle and she says, I'm so thankful that we have you that have come to visit us to show us how to love one another. Does she mean to dig? Does she mean to hurt? She's just being honest with her words. With geen bymotief nie. She's just expressing the obvious that no one else is willing to acknowledge. They rather try to push it out the way, try to ignore it. And she's being honest. And God says, become like that. As adults, return to that. You had it at one stage. You've lost it at one stage. You've lost it partially. Now go get it 100% back. Honest, innocent words. Our hearts, we have to surrender so that we can speak the truth with no ill intent. We need to ask the Lord to make us like children again. Next aspect is, before we go to the point, let me describe a story. So don't show it yet. Keep it in child in words. Have you seen a playground of kids? Have you seen the one kid by accidentally slips down a slide and he bumps the other kid's hand and he pinches its hand on the slide, for example. And that other child's upset because he's hurt him and he slaps him and the other one slaps him back. And before you know, there's a slapping and a wrestling and they're upset and they cry and they walk away from each other. A minute later, they're playing again as if nothing has happened. Have you seen that? And you sit, it's like they've forgotten that they just had a fight. It doesn't bother them anymore. They carry on as if nothing happened. And that speaks to us, to be a child, you need to give forgiveness easily. The kingdom of God belongs to those that are like children. We must give forgiveness. Bear no grudges. 7 times 70 a day for the same offense. Turn the other cheek over and over again. That child doesn't, they don't care about the fact that they fought. They just give each other forgiveness. My wife and I were missionaries in Cyprus. And we sat on this one corner in the main street drinking coffee one day. And the next minute, two cars collided. Now, the Cypriots are Greeks. I don't know how many of you have been to Greece or to Cyprus? To Cyprus? Okay. So the car collided. And they had an accident. And the next minute, these two men, the Cypriot men, jumped out of the vehicle. And they were shouting at the top of their voice, probably swearing in Greek. We don't understand Greek. And they were like nose to nose. I mean, they were not touching, but they were carrying on like, you know, just something hold me back before I punch this guy. But they didn't touch one another. Eventually, the cars that were held back behind them got out of their vehicles and they were fighting. So the cars and the drivers behind this car was fighting with that guy and the people behind him. So they like ganged up. So all the drivers on this side was on this guy's side, and all the drivers on that side were on that guy. And there was like a big commotion. And we were like looking at that, astounded by what's going on, screaming at the top of the voice. I mean, everybody was getting involved. And then suddenly the voices became softer and softer. And the next minute, you saw they put out their hands to one another, shook hands. And then they hugged, embraced, got in the cars, laughed, and went their way. We're not like that. South Africans are not like that. Shame on us. They are like children. Forgive each other. Let go. Give forgiveness. To become like a child is to give forgiveness as Christ forgives you. The whole story about Jesus saying, do not point to the speck in your brother's eye when there's a plank in your eye. I believe the Lord showed me something, and I'm convinced about it. Both of those parties started with a speck in their eye. But as soon as the one party started noticing and wanting to criticize the other party's speck, his speck became a plank. That's how serious it is for God that one unrighteous, one unholy, one sinner gives themselves the right to judge another sinner. Because God has the only right. God that's holy and perfect, has no mistakes. He alone gives himself the right. And even he doesn't do it. He said, I paid for your sin. I prayed for your judgment on the cross. For God, it's very serious that we afford ourselves the right to be offended. That we afford ourselves the right to point the finger and not to give forgiveness easily like a child. Because if you have no sin, you can point the finger. Who of you have got no sin here? None of us. God alone has got the right to do that. And me, by my arrogance, afford myself the right to point a finger and not to forgive. How many times does God forgive me? If I don't have the Lord's forgiveness and favor, where would I be? To become a child, you need to give forgiveness. As easily, as quickly, as verby, as oor, we carry on. I, praise God, lived in a house like that. I grew up in a home like that. But I must say, the average South African culture is not like that. So let's be challenged this morning and say, Lord, I want to return to be like a child. Another aspect is to be a child in emotions. Does a child keep their emotions back? When they're upset, they show it. When they're happy, they show it. When they're sad, they show it. When they cry, they don't keep their tears back. They let them flow. They release their emotions. And I think us in the adult world are on this side of the pendulum. I know Scripture says we must have self-control. But I think we've forgotten what it means to be childlike with our emotions. A child shows their emotions. Their tears flow easily. Hulle het geen opgehoopte emosies. They don't allow themselves to crop up with emotions. They fight quickly and they make peace quickly. They don't have masks. To become less like a child is to develop a mask. And what does a mask do? What's the function of masks in our lives? To cover, to hide. Does a child hide anything? What you see is what you get. They just show their emotions. They're honest with themselves. They don't make as if something's hunky-dory when it isn't. They're truthful about their emotions. And some of us as adults become irritated with a child's truthful showing of emotions. The danger or the warning for us is when we've come to a place where we prefer our masks to the truth that's really going on in our lives. We're walking a dangerous road when we want to live a mask for the sake of what others might say or not say, at the expense of what's really going on in my heart. We prefer artificial lives, a plastic veneer, instead of the truth. Some of us have maybe fallen out of contact with our own emotions by living permanent lives with masks. And if we carry on with these masks of not showing and portraying our emotions, living our emotions, being honest with what we're feeling on the inside, but not honest with a stab. Like that child was honest, saying, "Hey, I'm so grateful you can show us how to love one another. Now we can learn from you." No intent, no ill intent, no malice, but just bearing your emotions honestly like a child. Because we all want the kingdom of God. And God says the kingdom of God belongs to these that are like children, such as these. So when we live constantly with masks, we lose contact with perspective. We do not have perspective of our lives. And it will end up in self-destruction. Emotionally, psychologically, many people have got psychological problems, issues, because they just have so many masks that they force upon themselves and don't bear their hearts. At least have one or two people with whom that are spiritually stronger than you that you can say this, but who's the most important to go bear your heart to above someone else? Jesus Christ. To go to the Lord and say, "Lord, this is what I'm feeling. This is really how I feel. These are my issues. These are my pains. I'm worried about this." Because it's in His presence that He caresses you with His healing. That He caresses you with His touch, with His victory, with His power, with His glory, with His peace and His love that surpasses all of your human understanding. To be honest, forthright about our emotions without stabbing, without losing control, is to become like a child. And often we think, this child's going now too wild. They've lost. I think what we perceive as losing control is not what God perceives as losing control. I think we think too soon there's control that's being lost. Whereas God will let that child just vent his or her emotions until they get calm and they reunite and they have reconciled with whoever they're upset with. There are many psalms where David says, "Lord, where are you? Have you forgotten me? Have you left me? Why are you not helping me?" Have you read those psalms? Did David lose self-control? God allowed him to be childlike. We want the kingdom. Become like a child. A friend of mine was telling me about his teenage son that he was driving to school one morning. And this teenage son was commenting about that person and that. They were driving past. Look at that person's funny nose. And look at, and they, you know, that person is with me in the school and they do that wrong and that wrong. And eventually this father stopped and he said to his son, he said, my son, you know, about 5-6 years ago, he's now a teenager, you accepted everyone. You didn't point a finger. You were not critical. You were not critical of anyone. You just embraced everyone around you. You would not notice the difference. You would rather focus on the similarities. That which you have in common with that person. You accepted them. You received them. He said, don't lose that. You're becoming an adult. You're on the bridge from childhood to adulthood. Now you don't lose that acceptance of each one. Focusing on that which you have in common rather than focusing that which you have in difference. And a child will say honestly, I'll never forget, my daughter and I went to a bank in Kempton Park. We were pastors there, and she was about this high, and she couldn't speak yet. She spoke quite late. She couldn't really speak properly. I don't know what age she started speaking. 3. So she was, just before she started speaking, about 3 years old. And this other short lady walked in. I think they call them tikkies. I don't know if that's, is that an acceptable word? But this lady was her height, but was a 70-year-old lady with a nice, pucky, clearer, squinkies, alles. And my little girl was astonished. She just looked, and she couldn't say, ooh, 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 she pointed, you know. Because she couldn't believe this elderly lady looked, was her height, you know, was looking her in the eye. She was like, this is something unique. So she was honest. But she had no ill intent in her honesty, in her childlikeness. She was not being critical. She was saying, look, we have something in common. We're the same height. And there's a tani. You know? She didn't say it, but I mean, you could read it on her face, her expression on her face. Another thing is, and that's about love. A child with regarding to love. I think we have that. Child emotions. A child in love. A child responds to devoted attention and care and reciprocates his attention and care. If a child sees that you really are interested in them and you really love them, they melt in your arms. Have you noticed that? You get some children, they just don't want to, they're a bit shy. You just give them enough attention, play enough at their level, and they give back what you give them. They reciprocate the love that they receive from you. They immediately identify genuine love and they return genuine love to you. So, God says, become like children. Receive my genuine love and give genuine love out. And sometimes you might have to give genuine love out to people that don't give it to you. But remember, you always have an open funnel from me to receive absolute, unadulterated, unpolluted love from me. Now give that love out. Become like a child. Next aspect is being a child towards God. In our relationship with God, being childlike. The first point is being childlike in our expectation. A child expects all, trusts all, believes all from God. That's our expectation that God says, if you want to become like a child in your relationship with me, expect all, trust all, believe all. Work against that doubt. And if you think of a child, if you tell a child, I'm going to do this, they don't doubt you. They know you're going to do it. You might not do it and you disappoint them. They'll forgive you immediately again and they'll trust you again. They just give trust. As they give forgiveness, they expect all, trust all, believe all. When I was a missionary, our mission organization used to have a buffet meal on Sundays, and we could invite anyone to join us for that meal. And I invited this one young couple to join me for a meal. I met them at church, and we just got on like a house on fire. We chatted. They were about 3-4 years older than myself, and they had just she'd just given birth to a baby. The baby was 3-4 weeks old, little baby, and they wanted to get out there. I said, come have a meal with me at the mission base. And it was a very, very affordable meal. It was a buffet. And I was sharing my mission work. I was sharing mission testimonies that I've been researching about. And I was sharing with them about this one guy in Vietnam that went to this one village, and he shared the gospel with them. He was an evangelist, and the village was Buddhist, and they were very upset with him, and they beat him to a pulp, and they fastened rocks around him and threw him in a raging river that he can drown because they don't like him, they don't like his message. And while he's sinking in the water, he sees a yellow light, and he starts breathing underneath the water. And then eventually he washes on the riverbanks, and he can hardly see through his eyes because they've been beaten so severely, throws off the rocks and walks back to the village. Do I have all your attention with this story? Have I lost anyone's attention with this amazing testimony? It's a true story. I haven't. You're listening to what I'm saying. While I'm sharing this story with this couple, the baby goes, wah, wah, wah. They forget I exist. They're both looking at the baby. And I don't know why both of them are looking at the baby. The baby only needs one's attention, but both daddy and mommy. And mommy's giving the baby a bottle, picking up the baby. And I'm talking in the air. I'm telling them about how the guy's breathing underneath the water, and they don't care what I'm saying. Their attention is focused on the child. And just before I invited them, I was wrestling with God about, God, I don't understand your love for me. Show me your love. You say I must love you. I appreciate you and I'm very thankful towards you. But it's hard for me to love someone that I can't see, hold, and touch. I hear your voice in my heart. I sense your presence. But how do you love a spirit? Because God is spirit. You know, our realities, we love human beings that we can touch and feel and see. And I was grappling with this concept then, many years ago. And I said, Lord, I know I must love you, but if I have to take off my mask, I don't really love you. Do you love God? It's your question between you. Go, you wrestle with the Lord. Can you say, I love the Lord? Or do I appreciate and am thankful towards God? There's a difference. And I had to face that difference. And I said, Lord, I don't really understand your love for me either, you know. And I must say, since I've started understanding God's love for me, I can love Him. I do not have the ability to love God first before He loves me, before I can understand His love. I'm not that holy. Maybe some of you are. Show me how. Tell me how you did that. But I've started loving and really love God because I taste and see that He's good and that He loves me. I see it every day in things that He does and how He constantly forgives me, accepts me. Then that just wells up in my heart. And my appreciation moves from appreciation to loving Jesus. So I was grappling with this, and I was sharing this story with them, and I lost their attention about this Vietnamese evangelist. And while this was happening, the Holy Spirit said to me, just dropped something in my heart, said to me, you see how that child has its parents' total attention. The parents are focused. They love that child. They will do whatever it takes for that child. So I love you a million times more. You have my total attention. And as that child is totally dependent on its parents for It's total sustenance. It's total livelihood. That child expects everything from it. All it knows is what daddy and mommy gives me. That's the expectation God says we must have from him. A child believes all, trusts all, expects all. You want to become like a child? Return to that expectation that you had as a child before you became an adult. Before you thought you became wise, you actually became unwise. Me too. Expects all, trusts all, believes all. That child's total existence is dependent on that parent. Another lady we spoke to, she was with us in the previous congregation, two congregations back in Kempton Park. And her children grew up in the church, were exposed to a lot of wow things and amazing miracles. And I'm not sure if they ever gave their lives, or I think the son did give his life to the Lord. We didn't get into that detail, but she shared with me that something had shocked me. Both the children are studying at university and they both became atheists. They don't believe in God anymore. And I inquired a bit more because this really bothered me. She got divorced with their father when they were young, so they grew up in a broken home. She got married with another guy that loved her children. But she said to me something. She said her son mentioned to her one day, he asked God to do something and God never did it. And he thought, oh God, it's not real. God doesn't exist. And that brings me to the next point. And a child was a teenager when he asked that. God may say no. When you say no to a child, they might argue and whine and moan, but they do accept it. And they don't bear a grudge that you said no. They don't want to stab you afterwards. They accept you to say no. And to be like a child is to accept a no. Because God knows better. God knows that no is necessary to protect you from something you cannot see, that you do not understand. God will do whatever it takes for your intimacy to increase with him, even though that entails a lot of suffering, even though that entails pain. And what for us is an unbearable sacrifice is for God not necessarily a sacrifice, as big as it is for us. Because God looks at things in their totality. He looks at the big picture. If it takes one person's death to save someone, and that family have said, Lord, we belong to you, how can we say, God, you may not take that person? If that person's death will jolt others to turn to Christ, because God gave up his life. It took his death to save the world. And we're all part of that process. I believe many people are atheists. The majority are atheists, not because they don't really believe that God exists, because they're offended with God. They're angry with God. And they want to get back at him by saying he doesn't exist. And he just will keep loving them, keep reaching out to them. We must be children with acceptance. Accept a no. Accept a yes. Accept what the Father, our parent, says to us and not rebel against it. Another aspect of being a child is a child in closeness. Have you seen a child that wanders off? They're with daddy and mommy and they start walking, and at one stage they lose track of where they are and they're looking for their parent and they can't see their parent. Have you seen the reaction of that child? The kingdom of God belongs to those that are like children. The child loses track of its parent, becomes frantic and panicky. And how many of us are absolutely reliant on Christ? How many of us never wander off too far? How many of us keep a close eye on God in our walk with him? Now this child wanders off, loses track of its parent, and starts panicking. A, fr- a a young man, he's 21 years old, shared with me. He still remembers at the age of 21, when he was a little boy, he would get lost in the supermarket. And then he would frantically go look for his mother and weep uncontrollably, was totally traumatized by the fact that he wasn't close to his mother. How traumatized are you and I if we don't spend everyday time with God? Are we traumatized? Or have we gotten so used to, have we gotten so conditioned to not being close to God that it's become an acceptable reality? If you want to become like a child, it must be unacceptable to your soul, body, and spirit not to remain close to God. Because a child is traumatized when it loses, it thinks it's lost its parent. How traumatized are you and I when we don't discuss everything we do and think and feel with Christ in relationship with a loving Father? The kingdom of God belongs to those that are like children. And that's a very important characteristic of a child. The Lord wants us to be like a child, like this little boy that lost his mother, besotted with our Heavenly Father. Versot op ons hemelse Vader. We cannot live without His close presence, His tangible presence. We cannot live without it. If we have it, if it starts waning and becomes less, we are traumatized. I'm guilty. I don't know if you're guilty of not feeling that always. Who's guilty with me? God says, return to that. Ask me to restore that to you. An absolute dependence upon God. Next aspect of being, we're nearly finished. Next aspect of being like a child is a child as a sponge. Have you noticed that? I'm sure you've noticed. When a child is born, they're like an empty hard drive. What they see you do, say, think, they just suck it in like a sponge. They monkey see, monkey do. We all monkeys. We all learn from our parents. My wife and my children often say, you laugh like your mother. I see, sometimes I look at my son and I see he's got my walk. He won't want to acknowledge it right now. But monkey see, monkey do. We are sponges. We soak up everything. And how do we apply that to our relationship with Christ, with God, to being childlike? So a child absorbs the attitudes, the tone of voice. We're like little computers, clean, uncluttered, the little child is. Draws up any data it gets, absorbs everything. It learns without even knowing it learns. It just learns without even realizing it learns. And when they're at an age when they can understand to learn, they keep trying with a parent's persistent patience teaching them. So when they can understand, they are busy learning, they want to learn how to open the door with a key, and they keep trying. So God says, in your relationship with me, to be like a child, you must soak everything you can up from me. Soak me up. Have you ever seen a child learning to walk? Even though the child has got a cleft foot, is there in that child's mind any consideration that he or she will not walk? Is that thought there? Is there any consideration of failure? They will fail to walk. Is that in that mind of that child? Can you see it from its behavior? Does that child start being upset because it can't walk? The child might fall 10 times more than the child that walks normally, but that child with a cleft foot does not give up. Doubt doesn't enter their minds. Failure does not enter his or her mind. They carry on until they walk. So, how much of God have we got in us that doubt doesn't creep in? sense of failure does not creep in. How much of God pulsates in our veins of His love, His faithfulness, His goodness, that failure is just not a consideration. Come hell or high water, by God's grace, because He's told me, I will do that and I will get it right. Like a child learning to walk. God says, become like children. Have faith like a child. Don't doubt. Know that God's on your way, and that child sees God do something. As we as children see God do something, Christ says, do likewise. Whatever you see me do, do the same. And He says, you will do even greater things in my name than what I did. I'm not there yet. I think the majority, if not all of us, are not there yet. But that should not deter us from saying, we're going to reach it. Like a child does not consider the fact that they might not walk as a consideration. They carry on until they walk. They do not give up. God says, be like a child. Failure is not part of your vocabulary. Failure is not part of your mindset. Doubt is not part of your mindset. And me and all of you sit with lots of doubt. Am I right? So God says, return. Ask me to help you to return, to become like a child when it's about sponging, drinking up everything that God has for us. Never give up wanting to only learn from Him as a sponge. Copy Him, follow Him, honor Him, worship Him as our parent, and in His name for His kingdom's sake through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I'd like you all to close your eyes so we can just focus on God right now. Those of you this morning that are saying, Lord, I want to become like a child again. Some of these areas I've slipped up. Some of these areas I've wandered off from being like a child. I'd like you to go on your knees right now. Right now on your knees, you're saying, Lord, I have to return to become childlike. If you can't go on your knees, you can sit, it's fine. But if you're able to go on your knee, go on your knee. A child in words, a child in actions, a child in expectations, a child in giving forgiveness, a child in faith. And right now, ask the Lord to help you. Repent where you have to repent, and believe that you will